We're going to jump back into the Old Testament, into the book of Deuteronomy, the second book of the law, which I know you have all read backwards and forwards and memorized with a passion like that for Christmas and Easter. And we're going to read about tithing. This is coming right after a wonderful section on clean and unclean food, so I know you'll know exactly where to find this. Set apart a tithe of all the yield of your seed that is brought in yearly from the field. In the presence of the Lord your God, in the place that he will choose as a dwelling for his name, you shall eat the tithe of your grain, your wine, and your oil, as well as the firstlings of your herd and flock, so that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if when the Lord your God has blessed you, the distance is so great that you are unable to transport it, because the place where the Lord your God will choose to set his name is too far away from you, then you may turn it into money. With the money secure in hand, go to the place that the Lord your God will choose. Spend the money for whatever you wish, oxen, sheep, wine, strong drink, or whatever you desire. And there you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your household, rejoicing together. As for the Levites resident in your towns, do not neglect them, because they have no allotment or inheritance with you. And every third year you shall bring out the full tithe of your produce for that year and store it within your towns. The Levites, because they have no allotment or inheritance with you, as well as the resident aliens, the orphans, and the widows in your towns, may come and eat their fill, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work that you undertake. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Churches, like a lot of other organizations, get stuck on the bottom line. And the bottom line is an odd thing to get stuck on. Because we know there's always two ways to solve a budget problem. You can either spend less money or you can make more money. Now, I know a lot of people who've done really well financially for themselves in life, to the extent that they have always made more money, and yet somehow it has never been enough. So I'm not sure that the have more income is always the solution we're looking for. And I'm aware that you can cut things so deeply to the bone that you lose the point of what it was that you were doing. And so today, as part of our stewardship series, we're talking about all the things that don't show up on the 1040 that we give to God. So yesterday, to borrow a phrase from Habitat, we had people putting in sweat equity. And if you want to live in a Habitat house, you have to put in 200 hours of sweat equity towards your house, towards other people's houses, towards getting into one. And that, you know, that doesn't really show up. That's not taxable. It's not a charitable donation. You don't get one of those fun letters at the end of the year to show the IRS or anything like that. But it matters just the same. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus is, it's a long list of woes. The scribes and the Pharisees just do not do well with Jesus. Okay, let's just accept that as a reality. But he's talking about how they tithe spices. They're tithing mint and cumin and dill. Now, spices are for rich people. That's how spices have always worked. They're not very much, but they always have a huge cost attached to them. Spices are for rich people. So they're tithing these things that have a great value, or should have a great value. They're also tithing something that makes sure everybody knows they're tithing something of great value. Remember that they're the scribes and the Pharisees. They're supposed to be the servant leaders of Israel. So there's a little bit of a conflicting world hitting here. And Jesus says, that's great and all, but you've neglected faith and justice and mercy, and you need to be tithing on those. And we're all sitting here going, how do you give 10% of faith? tithe isn't just the 10%. And that's the challenge, is we've broken it down so far that we've gotten down to where it means one thing and we've neglected the rest of it. And so as a church, Gene and I have told you this, Gene and I sit down every year in about January and we fill out the clerk's statistical report for the denomination. And that's how many people, one of the questions on there is how many people have members of your church directly impacted through the mission and ministry of your church? And we have a ball filling that out. Because we serve at the soup kitchen 4 to 5 weeks out of the year, right? And just for lunch, we average 80 people a day at the soup kitchen. So that's 400 people times the 4 or 5 times. Well, suddenly we're at 1,600 to 2,000 people that we're impacting, which is pretty good. And then we serve 300 unique families at the soup kitchen at the Ministerial Alliance every week, every month, out of the food boxes. And we donate food, both at Super Bowl and throughout the year for that. And you donate your pastor's time to write every check that the Ministerial Alliance writes. The Ministerial Alliance serves 18,000 meals a year. It serves 300 unique families a month with food baskets. We serve somewhere in the neighborhood in a normal year of 400 to 500 families with rent and utility assistance. All of that work, Gene and I plug right into that spreadsheet hole. Because we're one of 12 churches that make sure that happens in this community. And we dedicate ourselves not just to the work, but to the leadership of that happening. Okay, so that's one of them. What about Lighthouse Shelter? Bill has been leading the crew ably this year, making Susie Seelock's meatloaf on a number of occasions. How many of you know the statistics about homelessness in America? There's a lot of homeless people, right? Okay. Homelessness is weird in that it's one of the few social ills that has a really sharp knife's edge. If you are homeless 6 months or less, the probability is 92% that you will never be homeless again. If you are homeless 2 years or more, it is a 92% probability you will never have a stable living environment again. We have a 2-year window to work with people. And the Lighthouse does that very successfully. And we donate stuff to them, and we donate time. And this church was part of the founding of the Lighthouse Shelter with Dan Whitfield. A family's average stay there is somewhere between 60 and 90 days. And then they have a stable place to live. And odds are, 90% plus odds are, they're never going to be homeless again. That really doesn't show up in the bottom line of what we do. But it is absolutely essential for who we are as the people of God. We've worked with Habitat over the years. We've been their mailing address. We've provided their board presidents. We've provided their board treasurers, and that's a challenging job. We've provided labor. How many houses, how many families is that? Habitat's trying to build 2 houses a year right now. That gets smooshed into that line. How many kids get tutored by members of this church at Boynton Street during the school year in the after-school program. How many kids get served frozen grapes at band camp? Right, none of this is like, it doesn't go into QuickBooks. It doesn't show up on monthly giving. It's not a part of the financial statement. And yet it is absolutely essential to who we are as the Church of Jesus Christ planted in this place. We cheat, too, because, you know, we count everything Tom and Jocelyn do with Marian Medical Mission. So, Tom, how many people last year got safe, clean drinking water through the work of Marian Medical Mission? 375,000. So Gene and I take an evil, gleeful amount of joy by plugging into that spreadsheet that last year this congregation served somewhere in the neighborhood of 425,000 people in the name of Jesus Christ. I happen to think that's pretty impressive. And it gets, when we're talking about tithing, that all the stuff doesn't show up. So when it talks about dill and cumin and things like that, the fancy stuff, yeah, it's nice to have the fancy stuff, but the faith and the justice and the mercy, that's what makes it work. And so as I was preparing this whole series on stewardship, I knew we had to talk about tithing because people always want to talk about tithing. Mainly because the three people who are tithing want to feel superior to the 87 people who aren't tithing. And then I came across this passage in Deuteronomy, which is not how we think of tithing. God says to the people of God, tithe. Bring your first fruits, your crops, your crafts, your flocks, your fields. Bring them and sit down and have a meal with me. And if you're too far that you can't get to the temple with all that stuff, I think God had a sense of what it was to herd kids into a minivan. Sell it where you're at, bring the money, buy the stuff here, whatever you want. I mean, do you see the list of things? It would drive a Baptist preacher nuts. They say wine and strong drink, whatever you desire, and sit down and have a feast with God. So often our sense of tithing is that we give it away and we are not participants in it. The tithe is something that requires us to be participants in it. Serving meals at the soup kitchen, installing wells, listening to people, hearing people, feasting together. The tithe is not something we do with our checkbooks, it's something we do with our whole lives. And there's this piece that when I read this passage, when I went, yeah, there are a lot of passages in the Old Testament about tithing. There are very few that are really inspiring, okay? But I said, of course, we have to come to the table with this passage. We have to come, be the people of God, celebrating the joyful feast of the people of God. Because, like, how do you read this passage in Deuteronomy and not immediately go, oh, communion! As the Church of Jesus Christ, this is what our tithe does, is it gives us the opportunity to sit at table with Christ and with the body of Christ and celebrate. Yes, it pays for the electric bill. Yes, it pays for air conditioning. In February, it pays for heat, so, you know, that's great too. That's not the foremost thing it pays for. It pays for the opportunity for us to be the people of God in the world. Because our gift is us being the people of God in the world. We had this weird encounter in my first call. Okay, so I had three churches. We were in a county where the average income was $14,000. Money was not a thing we had. Or money was actually a thing we had that we told ourselves we didn't have. One of my churches was managing to put away $5,000 in a CD every year. And that was back when CDs were worth putting money into. They still thought they were poor. One of my churches was not making an $18,000 annual budget. For those of you who are bad at math, that means we were not clearing $1,500 a month in offering. That's not a whole lot of money. I'm not that old that that's a whole lot of money. We had somebody who wanted to give us a gift with a string attached. They wanted a plaque attached to it. And my treasurer didn't even ask me whether we should take this $10,000 gift. He turned them down because we don't take gifts just for plaques. We're the church. And that has stuck with me. Tithing is all of what we do. It's not the little piece with the brass plates. It's all of what we do. If we stopped feeding the hungry, would we be the Church of Jesus Christ? If we stopped visiting the sick and the imprisoned and the naked, would we be the Church of Jesus Christ? If we stopped participating in a ministry that shows people that living water is real, would we be the Church of Jesus Christ? This is really simple. This is not our checkbooks. This is us. This is us. Because I have lived and worked and struggled and served among people who long to be welcome at a table of celebration. And we do that as often as session lets us. And frankly, session will let us do it as often as we need to do it. That's not the issue. If we stop setting the table like this, are we still the church of Jesus Christ? We do a lot of great things. We do a lot of necessary things. Because we live in a region where it is not uncommon for 72% of the kids in one of our elementary schools to be on free or reduced lunch. That is not uncommon. We live in a region, okay, we live in a nation right now where 3/4 of all people live paycheck to paycheck. And we live in a region where that percentage is higher. We live in a region where we are accustomed to hearing that somebody's kerosene heater has been knocked over by the dog in December and the house has burned down. Because it happens. And those are the times when we have a unique opportunity to bring the tithe of our lives and set a feast in front of people, to celebrate who God is and how God is at work. If we just want to put it out there so we sit there and think how good we are with our dill and our cumin, we've probably missed the boat. And Jesus is probably going to say, "Woe to you! How about some faith and some justice and some love and some mercy?" This is who we are. This is why we were called as a body to be in this place, is to do this work. As we talked about in Sunday school this morning, the hallmark of Christianity has been that we don't do things like the world does them. Flip it upside down. The hallmark of the early church was love. We loved one another better than people had ever seen. Set the table. Give of your tithe for a joyful feast. Bring it in because it's used for us to send us out as well. It is essential to who we are and to how we are. And to God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.